Welcome to the Republic House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Tonight we have Dr. Mosley doing a teaching on kingdom law versus the world's legal traditions of men, and including some of the 50 laws of life and how they apply throughout the Bible and today as well, with discussion as the Holy Spirit leads us. And after that, we shall read 2 to 5 pages from the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, and have discussion on that as well. And we're going to also discuss the meeting date approval for the House of Representatives for 2025. But before we get started with roll call and swearing affirming in new representatives and the teaching, would someone like to open us up in prayer?
I can do that if you'd like. This is Representative Alsup.
Yes, Representative Alsup, you have the floor for prayer.
Thank you. Great I Am be felt within all of us tonight as we endeavor to restore our true republic to this land of your people. May we put aside our petty egos and let your love and your wisdom be our voices. Help us put aside our humanity desires so that we may be your instrument as we move forward in this process. Thank you for all your daily blessings that we have so often taken for granted. Open our eyes that we may truly see and appreciate all that you have blessed us with. Glory to you, the great I Am.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks for that prayer.
Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some representatives swearing tonight. Representative Schmidt, are you all ready for that?
Yep, I'm all set.
Awesome.
Okay,
sir.
Who's first?
I'm going to go down the list here. I got 7 on the list. So I'm going to ask Representative Laura Higgs from Minnesota, are you present? All right. Next one would be
yes.
Oh,
but
it's
Missouri.
Oh, it's
not
Missouri.
Minnesota.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Change that. All right, excellent. All right, Representative Higgs, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you before we get started?
Absolutely. I've been living in Missouri for the last 30 years, and before that, I was born and raised in California, and I decided to leave that state for obvious reasons. And I like to consider myself a great patriot. I've been born a patriot and raised a patriot, and I like to see this country restored the way it's supposed to be. Go back to God.
Very good.
I just had a birthday. I'm 60 years old, single, 2 dogs, and happy as can be.
Very good. Thank you for that background and everything. Do any of the other representatives have questions for Representative Higgs? If so, the floor is open. All right. Hearing none, Representative Schmidt, would you mind swearing in or affirming in Representative Laura Higgs from Missouri?
Okay, first off, do you prefer swear or affirm?
A swear.
Was that affirm you said?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, start with I and state your name.
I, Laura Lynn Higgs,
Do solemnly affirm
that I will support
the Constitution of the United States. Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm excited.
Yay, congratulations.
Yay.
Yay.
All right.
Thank you. I'm very proud.
Yes, ma'am. All right, the next representative on the list will be Representative Tamara Pritzer from Idaho. Representative Pritzer, are you on the call tonight? All right. The next representative will be Representative Jerry McCarty from Washington. Representative McCarty, are you on the call tonight? Nope, looks like I have to get back to him. He just sent me a text. We'll continue on then. Representative Scott Knowlton, are you on the call tonight from Massachusetts?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm 74. I've been living in Massachusetts for 40 years or more. Grew up in the state of Maine. And I'm kind of frustrated with the way things have been going in this country. When I heard about inhabiting the republic, I was pretty excited, and I jumped at the chance to do this. I don't know exactly what I have to do yet, but I'd like to be a part of something that I think is very important, and I'm glad to be here.
All right, sir. Very good. Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Scott Knowlton? All right. Hearing none, Representative Schmidt, would you mind swearing or affirming in Representative Scott Knowlton from Massachusetts?
Okay.
Hello?
Scott?
Yes.
Which one do you prefer?
Swear is fine with me.
Okay. Okay, I state your name.
I, Scott Lewis Knowlton.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support
the Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that.
All right. The next representative we have on the call is on the list is Representative Shannon Strong from Connecticut. Representative Strong, are you present?
I am.
Awesome. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I am born and raised in Connecticut. I am currently a therapeutic massage therapist, corrective exercise specialist, personal trainer. And I own my own studio in Kent, Connecticut. And back in the day, I was an avid lumberjill competitor in lumberjack sports. And I currently teach high school level. I started 5 schools in our area. And so I teach lumberjack sports and teach kids how to use crosscut saws and how to throw an axe and basically hand-eye coordination and balance. I found out about the Republic through Sandy, watching one of her podcasts with SG Anon, and jumped on board, and here I am.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Strong? All right. Representative Schmidt, would you please swear or affirm in Representative Shannon Strong? Connecticut.
Okay. Do you prefer swear or affirm?
Swear, please.
Okay. I state your name.
I, Shannon Andrea Strong.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Representative Strong.
Congratulations, Shannon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Next on our list, we have Representative Ann Costello from Arizona. Representative Costello, are you present with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I was born and grew up in New York and moved to Arizona and got married 17 years ago with my husband. We have three boys between us, six grandchildren and one great-grandchild. And we're both retired, and I'm a retired special ed teacher and ABA therapist. And it's an honor to be here and to serve in the Republic.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Costello? All right. Representative Schmidt, will you please swear or affirm in Representative Ann Costello from Arizona?
Okay. Swear or affirm?
Swear.
Okay. I, and state your name.
I, Anne Marie Costello.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Representative Costello.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right. The next representative we have on the list would be Representative Elizabeth Gonzalez from New Mexico. Representative Gonzalez, are you with us tonight?
I am here. And the connection is a little iffy, so I might be breaking up a little bit, just in case. And Maria Elizabeth, or I go by my nickname, Lizzie?
Probably better use your proper name, unless you feel strongly against it.
Okay, that's fine.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Elizabeth Gonzalez?
Yes.
All right.
I was born, I'm a born abroad citizen, actually. I'm a Navy brat. My dad is from New Mexico, but was doing maps for the U.S. government when I was born. Lived in Florida and moved to New Mexico about 6 years ago. I'm a college professor, and like Sandy, I woke up to the truthful history. Had a rude awakening with all the COVID mandates, resigned to my job because I didn't agree with the mandates. And now I'm back teaching because the mandates have gone away, but I'm trying to awaken my students who are future teachers. I have, my husband is Secretary of State for New Mexico also for our republic. I have two children, and I take care of my mom, so we all live here in New Mexico. Yep.
Very good. Thank you. Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Gonzalez? All right. Representative Schmidt, would you please swear or affirm in Representative Elizabeth Gonzalez from New Mexico?
Okay, do you prefer affirm? Okay. Okay, and then state your name.
I, Maria Elizabeth Gonzalez.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. We have, I'm going to go over the two representatives here. I know Representative Jerry McCartney was having a little problems getting into the call. Representative Jerry McCartney from Washington, are you on the call with us tonight? Nope. Guess not. Are you muted, sir? See if I can look for you here. Don't see him right now. Go one more time for Representative Tamara Pritzer from Idaho. Representative Pritzer, are you on the call? No. All right. Maybe we can come back to them a little bit later.
I have a comment about the guy that was having trouble getting through.
Yes, sir.
When I heard him read the phone number, I thought he said 707, and I believe the area code is 717, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's 717. I'll just text him one more time here really quickly here.
Okay, I just thought that's what I heard. I yield.
All right, just about got him there. All right, I texted him the number. Thank you for that observation. Okay, so we can come back to him if he comes back in. I'll be watching for him. So, next we have to do is take roll call. We'll go down the list here. I can hear say present. Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. Are you present, sir?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Thank you. Representative Ron Cox from North Dakota. Are you present, ma'am?
Yes. Representative Robin Cox from the North Dakota Free State is present.
Thank you. Representative James Blanton from Colorado, are you present? All right. Representative Mark Biner from the Free State of Iowa is present. And Representative Doug Reed from Nebraska, are you present, sir? No? Okay. Representative Ethan Jordan from Louisiana, are you present, sir? All right, he actually has a vetting call on Tuesday, so we're going to excuse him for that. Representative Rebecca Solwell, are you from North Carolina? Are you present, ma'am?
Oh, that's correct. Rebecca Solwell from the Free State of North Carolina, present.
Thank you. Representative Denise Marshall from Michigan, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Denise Marshall, Michigan Free State, present.
All right, great. Representative Ronald Hatcher from Georgia, are you present, sir?
Representative Ronald Hatcher from Free State of Georgia, present.
Thank you. Representative Arnold Lee from South Dakota, are you present, sir?
Arnold Lightday from the Free State of South Dakota.
All right, thank you. And Representative Kathleen Jones from Alabama, are you present?
Representative Kathleen Jones, Free State of Alabama, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Sandra Trio from Illinois, are you present?
Representative Sandra Trio, Free State, Illinois, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Michelle Holliday from Indiana, are you present? All right. Representative Tamara Pritzer from Idaho, are you present? No. Okay. Representative Eloise Alsup from Arkansas, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Eloise Alsup from the Free State of Arkansas is present.
Thank you. Representative Richard Akey from Ohio, are you present, sir?
Yeah, Representative Richard Akey from the Free State of Ohio is present.
Thank you. Representative Rosa Rosallo from Maryland, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Rosa Rosallo from the Free State of Maryland, present.
Thank you. And Representative Laura Higgs from Minnesota, or Missouri, so I changed that one too. From Missouri, are you present, ma'am?
Yes, Representative Laura Higgs from the Free State of Missouri is present.
Thank you. And Representative Jerry McCarthy, are you present? From Washington? He's still having trouble, I guess. Representative Scott Knowlton from Massachusetts, are you present, sir?
Scott Knowlton from Free State of Massachusetts is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Shannon Strong from Connecticut, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Shannon Strong of Connecticut is present.
Thank you. Representative Ann Costello from Arizona, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Ann Marie Costello from the Free State of Arizona is present.
Thank you, ma'am. And Representative Marie Elizabeth Gonzalez from New Mexico, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Maria Elizabeth Gonzalez from the Free State of New Mexico is present.
Thank you very much. I'll give you a total of representatives after Dr. Mosley does his teaching here. And so Dr. Mosley, he's the author of several books, including the 50 Laws of Life, that lists those laws and how they apply in the Bible and today as well. He has a show on Brighteon TV entitled The Laws of Life, Court TV, and a website as well, along with Justice Ministries International. And that website, that combination website, is www.lawsoflifecourttv.com. And he's available for speaking engagements as well, if you'd like to contact him for that. His phone number is 214-995-6566. And his email, his personal email, is mosleyjustice10@gmail.com. And that's mosleyjustice10@gmail.com. And I can post that in our wire chat, too, so you don't have to write it all down. And without further delay, I present to you Dr. Fred Mosley for our teaching tonight.
Thank you very much, Representative Binder.
Yes, sir.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The laws of life. We define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. We have over these last several months been discussing the laws of life and how they apply to the systems of this world, dealing with the economic system, the social system, the educational system, the political system, and the religious system, and endeavoring to determine whether or not what takes place in the world system is consistent with what the Word of God says as relates to the kingdom of God and its system. And we find that it's very much diametrically opposed to what the Word says and the kingdom principles for our lives. Some of the laws of life that we've touched, the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Also, I should mention this, before we can refer to a law of life as being such, we have to have a foundational Old Testament and a foundational New Testament scripture, and tracing that law of life throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, into and throughout the New Testament, and establishing that law of life as an absolute before we can refer to it as an absolute. We touched briefly on the law of faith, the law of resistance and non-resistance is a law of life we spent some time on a few sessions ago. Of course, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of prayer, the law of seasons, the law of accountability and responsibility, the law of forgiveness, the law of health, the law of exaltation and abasement, the law of words, the law of notice and warning, the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration, the law of love, the law of agreement, the law of vengeance, the law of reward. That's just a few of these 50 laws of life. And touching upon a few more at this point, we'll touch upon the law of authority, the law of escape, the law of success, the law of work, the law of bearability, the law of service, the law of reputation and character, the law of waste and want, the law of worship, the law of forfeiture, the law of imputation, the law of brokenness, the law of truth, the law of direction, the law of completion, the law of the pattern. And we apply these laws of life to the world system and to the kingdom of God. And it's clear, of course, from what we have been able to ascertain up to this point, is that these laws of life are consistent with what we find in the kingdom and the kingdom laws. And the world system, in many instances, are diametrically opposed to these kingdom laws. Now, as I mentioned before, and we're going to be brief tonight, that one of the last laws of life we discussed was the law of resistance and non-resistance. And we discussed those instances whereas we have an obligation or the authority to resist an unlawful order from government or otherwise. Now, we made reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they resisted an unlawful command to worship any deity other than the true and living God. We talked about Daniel and his refusal to bow down. And then we, after we talked about those two areas, we got into the law of life that we're going to discuss very briefly tonight. The law, not the concept, not the precept, not even the principle, but the law of overstepping. The law of overstepping. What we endeavor to present in this discussion is that one can overstep, and taking it a step further, that the government can overstep. So the question is, what, if anything, as believers, we are allowed to do according to kingdom laws when government or otherwise has overstepped its authority? Now, I'm going to ask this question, and I would assume Representative Binder will allow me the latitude to do this. My question to the group is whether or not there has been overstepping by our government, and if so, what, if anything, are we allowed to do based upon kingdom laws, and which contains the Word of God? Any thoughts in the comments in that regard? Overstepping, governmental overstepping. Now, it does not confine itself to government. Overstepping can take place in the home by parents as it relates to children. Overstepping can take place in the schools. Overstepping can take place in the community. Overstepping can take place even in the church. But going back to the government, any thoughts as to whether or not there has been overstepping or there is taking place even at this juncture, some form of overstepping by way of government? Any thoughts, comments, or questions in that regard? While you're reflecting, I'm going to make mention of this fact also. Every time the children of Israel got into disobedience, they went into and fell under the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. while they were still in bondage, if you know, still under the law of captivity. They were delivered from captivity and they were restored. But before they were delivered, almost in every situation where they were captive, what they found was that there was overstepping on the part of the captors. And as a result of the overstepping of the captors, then the captors came to be under judgment. Now, my question to the group is whether that is still true today. But these two areas of overstepping and resisting and non-resisting work very closely together, along with the law of sowing and reaping. Again, the floor is open for any thoughts, comments, and or questions. So then, let's go back to the instance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going back to resistance and non-resistance just for a moment, and as well as Daniel. What was the key component I submit to you in each of those situations? And the question to the group is whether or not that still is the case. After they resisted authority, what were they willing to do? If you recall, each of them were willing to accept whatever punishment that would have come forth. There was no picketing, and of course I say that in a way that I'm sure you understand my point. There were no marches. There was no open rebellion. They merely said, "We will not bow down." Now, is that a pattern for us? That's another law of life, the law of the pattern. Is that a pattern for us today? And we asked the question in a previous session as to how were we to determine whether or not what we were doing in resisting was consistent with the word of God. And in the situation of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, we find that, again, they were willing to accept the punishment, although they resisted doing anything contrary to the mandates of Father God. These laws of life are absolute. Just as H2O, every time you put H2O together, that chemical formula, you expect to get water. We use a few of these other examples in our last session. As it relates to space, the shortest distance between two points is always a straight line. And as it relates to distance, I should say, as it relates to capacity, two bodies cannot occupy the same space at the same time. These are absolute physical laws, and just as these laws are absolute, the spiritual laws or the kingdom laws that relate thereto are also as absolute. So then, what I'm going to do this evening to give you an opportunity to reflect upon the law of overstepping, and again, on other laws of life that we've touched upon, and see if we can come to a meeting of the minds as a result as to how these laws of life impact the kingdom of God, whether they're consistent with kingdom rules and kingdom laws. Certainly, the systems of the world are diametrically opposed to these laws of life. And once you come to appreciate these laws of life, how they operate dependently and interdependently one to another, you'll see how in almost every fact situation, several laws of life are actively at work. And the only question is whether or not the activity that's taking place is consistent with the laws of life from the kingdom of God and the worldly system, which is totally contrary.
to these laws of life. That being said, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
Thank you for that teaching, Dr. Mosley. That was certainly inspiring. The floor is open if you have any questions for Dr. Mosley about his teaching or the laws of life in general. I'm sure you'd be glad to take your questions. So the floor is open. Just ask for the floor by name.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I have a question.
Yes, and, Representative Cox, you have the floor.
This is not true in all the other countries, but in our country, we have a constitution wherein the First Amendment says that we have the freedom of speech to say anything as long as we don't threaten anybody, and we have the right to free speech and of the press, and we have the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances as long as you're peacefully assembling, no violence. But we do have the right to resist in the sense that we're peacefully protesting and peacefully assembling. I yield.
Thank you for that comment. The floor is open for any other comments for Dr. Mosley's teaching.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Speaking of overstepping by the government is what's called Admiralty Maritime Statutory Law, where you have to have licenses and permits to do basically regulates just about aspect of your life, and you have all these different licenses and permits to do anything, practically. And also we have what are called revenue crime laws that are designed, seatbelt laws would be an example, or speeding. If you're out by yourself, okay. And these are laws that are designed, basically crimes, what are called revenue crimes, that are designed strictly to raise revenue. And these are crimes that do not have any form of an injured party. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt, for that insight. The floor is open for any other comments or questions for Dr. Mosley. All right. Hearing none, thank you so much, Dr. Mosley, for sharing the wisdom that the Lord's put upon your heart and sharing with us your teachings.
Thank you, Representative Rogers.
Yes, sir. Hope you can come back next time.
Look forward to it.
All right. Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, give me just 1 minute. I'm trying to get Representative Jerry McCarthy on the phone here. He can't get in.
I'm here now.
You're here? Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. I'm so glad we got that figured out. Woo. I was running out of options here. All right. Representative Schmidt, do you still have your paper in front of you there, sir?
Yep, I sure do.
All right. Representative Jerry McCartney from Washington, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself, sir?
Well, I am 71 years old. I have retired from 30 years of the telephone company, did basically every job they had in labor, the union side. Spent a few years studying law and dealt with some foreclosures, that kind of thing. Was originally just heard of the Republic when Tim Turner was the president, and before I could get too involved, that all went south the way it did. I've been in ministry for a while. It's been about 10 years in prophetic ministry, healing rooms, stuff like that. What else would you need to know? Was a realtor for about 6 years. So I've kind of been in business and been in the corporate world, and then just started waking up and figuring out things are not right. So
very good.
What else do you need to know?
Oh, that'd be fine. Do the representatives have any questions for Representative Jerry McCartney tonight? All right. Representative Schmidt, would you please swear or affirm in Representative Jerry McCartney from Washington, sir?
Okay. Do you prefer swear or affirm?
Affirm, please.
Okay. I, state your name.
I, Jerry Ray McCarty.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
Support?
No, I said that I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Sorry I was so...
Welcome, Representative McCartney. It's going to be worth it.
Thank you.
So I have to ask, we took roll call, but I have to ask, Representative Jerry McCartney from Washington, are you present, sir?
I am present.
Awesome.
Finally.
Awesome. All right. Okay. Well, without further ado, we can go to the teachings that we have tonight for the voice of Gene Hertler is going to read page 4 and 5 and maybe page 6 of the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. Well, actually, the Proclamation of Claim and Interest. Sorry. Proclamation of Claim and Interest. I just wanted to also mention that there was a question about what the J Treaty was on the last call, and it's a treaty of amity, commerce, and navigation between His Britannic Majesty and the United States of America by their President with the advice and consent of their Senate. And they were talking about mostly Article 1, which states, there shall be a firm, inviolable, and universal peace and a true and sincere friendship between His Britannic Majesty, his heirs and successors, and the United States of America, and between their respective countries, territories, cities, towns, and people of every degree, without exception of person or places. And this is basically a treaty to continue on with trade between Great Britain and United States and that type of thing is what it's for. So there's a lot more to it. There's several acts of it. I just read you the first article, actually, and there's how many are there? There's 28 articles to this. So it can be quite involved if you want to do a study on your own. I can post it on our wire chat if you want. And without
yes, please.
Further, yes, sir, I will. And without further ado, here's the second teaching.
And whereas we the people hold, quote, contract, end quote, by deception, is not contract, and is contrary to law. No law shall be passed impairing, quote, obligation of contract, end quote, as guaranteed by Article 1, Section 10, in the Constitution of the United States of America, circa 1791. And whereas we the people hold, there is no one with sufficient standing, authority, or ability to counter-memorialize, abrogate, or rebut our documented evidence and these self-evident truths. And whereas we the people, as a paramount party to the Treaty of Ghent, circa 1814, provide notice of our original jurisdiction and of our capacity as sovereigns over any trespassing foreign municipal corporations such as the United States et al., or their agents, employees, representatives, officials, or contractors, A to Z, 1 to 301, etc. And whereas we the people hereby hold, claim, enforce, continue, take, and accept respective jurisdictions on the land within meets and bounds of said union and lawful authority thereof to self-determination by accepting responsibility for all Republic acts and actions. And whereas, upon lawful proof of valid claim by any party, the Republic for the United States of America will negotiate said claim with the claimants, since it is in the best interest of we the people to satisfy our lawful obligations in comity and mutual peace with all nations. And whereas, with respect to Article 1 of the Jay Treaty, the Jay Treaty limits any, quote, person, end quote, including corporations and other subdivisions of the Crown, to inferior position with respect to we the people, and we the people affirmed by overture dictum UN Charter circa 1950, continuous and in full force and effect, limiting and preventing state parties from using treaties or other instruments to increase their control over domestic citizens. And whereas, quote, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, end quote, Exhibit 2A, circa 1776, was served on the King of Great Britain by our founding fathers as declaring our separation from governance by tyranny. And this declaration maintains that we the people continue certain unalienable rights granted by the Almighty Creator, by divine providence. And some of these certain rights were documented by the Bill of Rights, Exhibit 2C, circa 1791, being part of our founding documents, an accumulated legacy of the people of America. And we the people are specific, designated parties in interest, successors and beneficiaries of said Bill of Rights, parentheses, contract, close parentheses, expressly and explicitly reserving certain rights and imposing certain limitations upon the delegated government of we the people. And whereas, the founders of the Constitution, circa 1789, ordained, established, and included the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, circa 1791, and established absolute limits for governance, delegated by we the people, the Bill of Rights invoked and affirmed by written record, some natural, certain rights the Almighty Creator originally granted, being absolute, natural, unalienable, inherent rights belonging to we the people. The Bill of Rights was not complete in enumerating said rights, but was inclusive. The Bill of Rights can never be abrogated, infringed, denied, altered, abridged, or compromised by any governance or by any others, and natural rights are unalienable by any means. And whereas, by constitutionally unlawful act of Congress, on February 21, 1871, the territory of the seat of government of the original de jure republic within the District of Columbia, was incorporated with the District of Columbia, forming a new municipal U.S. government corporation operating upon the American people as a democratic, executively administrated municipal corporate government. And whereas, all de jure executive officers of the United States of America are required to take an oath to support the Constitution and an oath of office which places them under constitutional executive authority. Conversely, members of Congress are required to take only an oath to support the Constitution. Members of Congress are prohibited from holding any civil office and are constitutionally identified only as members of Congress, known as the Senate Chamber and the House Chamber, the lawful representatives of the sovereign people of the United States of America. After the assassination of President Lincoln in 1865, the Senate and House began taking a civil oath, Exhibit 6, of office. And after February 21, 1871, they changed the name of the Senate Chamber to the U.S. Senate to accommodate for the change from a de jure Republic Congress to the new U.S. corporation government, mandating that all members of Congress take the new civil oath of office, thus becoming de facto Congress officers of the U.S. corporation in an executive branch administrative capacity, no longer lawful members of Congress, and no longer representing the American people pursuant to the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And whereas, this new form of governance unlawfully imposed a foreign legal system, which is in opposition to the people of America and our law form, and the municipal corporate Congress replaced the Constitution circa 1791 articles with amendments using Roman numerals without full knowledge and consent of we the people, and without authorization in accord with basic fundamental law, and their foreign decree legal system by fraud imposed non-injury prosecution upon we the people without sufficient full disclosure required by law. And whereas said foreign decree legal system was imposed by deceptive acts and practices indicating ill intent governance by United States Municipal Corporation, actors in mail governance, and Congress and other government organs and offices by valid circa 1791 Constitution were abandoned under duress since Reconstruction Acts circa 1867. And whereas the United States Municipal Corporate Congress circa 1913 imposed the unlawful Federal Reserve Act upon we the people, this invasion and trespass by commerce, fraud, by so-called public officials, was committed against we the people without our knowledge or consent, and local free people were forced into involuntary servitude and poverty as a result of unlawful acts, commercial crimes, and all crimes inclusive. Parentheses, 27 CFR 72.11, close parentheses, contrary to our law form, and in direct violation and trespass of oath of office and fiduciary duties by, quote, public officials, end quote, working within their United States Municipal Corporation, and, quote, we the people, end quote, hold this as a conspiracy contrived by the International Banking Cartel and bad actors within the United States Municipal Corporate Congress. And whereas the United States Municipal Corporation, circa 1916, in collusion and conspiracy with the Federal Reserve, did in fact, by act of fraud, impose unapportioned direct tax in the form of an income tax upon the labor of we the people, and this unlawful tax is currently being assessed, charged, and collected against millions of free people in America without lawful consent as required by existing laws, treaties, and constitutions, A to Z, 1 to 301. Judges 7. By cause of foreign decrees, non-legislated codes, statutes, and agency regulations, many millions of people have been accused and imprisoned by non-injury prosecution, indirect tort and trespass against our law form and against our consent, against we the people. And whereas the Municipal Corporate Congress, circa 1948, unlawfully imposed Title 18 of United States Code as the code for criminal prosecution, millions of unsuspecting people have been kidnapped, unlawfully arrested, prosecuted, and imprisoned for non-injurious crimes. The United States Municipal Corporation and the Municipal Corporate Congress continues without lawful or legal authority to prosecute we the people as fictitious persons using codes, statutes, and regulations imposed without our consent. The agents and principals of the United States Municipal Corporation have committed egregious and horrific crimes against we the people, acting with full knowledge and intent to inflict undue harm on we the American people. And whereas, pursuant to the Jay Treaty and attachments, claims, show cause, points, and authorities, we the people proclaim that we are the rightful established heirs by birthright to the United States of America. We the people on the Republic for the United States of America continue vested, established, interest in standing, being we the people of the Almighty Creator by divine providence, who by order of the Almighty Creator have lawful standing and right of claim to dominion over this land. We hereby claim and exercise that divine right. And whereas, we the people hold that the intent of the Constitution and Jay Treaty founders, circa 1794, laid a firm foundation and delivered the party state crown and its subdivisions unto justice by claims and show cause and injury and respective claims, whereby Great Britain, Britannica, Crown, the Crown, and all subsidiaries, agency, agents, et al., will make reparation with punctuality, without question. And whereas we the people hold, continue, claim, accept, and use the Jay Treaty with full jurisdiction for the United States of America, being paramount parties in interest, generally recognized by the Jay Treaty, circa 1794, between the United States of America and Great Britain, Britannica, Crown, the Crown, and all subsidiaries, agency, agents at all.
All right, that's quite a bit to take in. Maybe I'd stop it right now here. Does anybody have any comments or questions on the teaching tonight of the Proclamation of Claim and Interest? All right. I know I didn't understand everything. I got to do a little research myself because I don't understand all the terms they used back then, but that's okay. And it's a good journey to do that as well. And well, anyway, I just wanted to ask one more time here. Is Representative Blanton from Colorado present? I thought I see your phone number there, sir. Nope. Yep, Representative Blanton, Colorado, 970. Are you present, sir?
Yes, that's me. Yes, oh, I'm present.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
We'll put you down as present.
I was just muted there. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure here. And one more time for Representative Tamara Pritzer from Idaho. Are you present, ma'am? Okay. All righty. We did pretty good. I didn't follow through with getting how many representatives we have right at the moment here. But we have most everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4. So we've got 19 on the call tonight. So that's awesome. I haven't had that number for a long time. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for showing up for that, for sure. So if there's no further questions on what we just, on the Proclamation of Claim and Interest right now, and you can think of it as like the Declaration of Independence, where they tell all the faults, you know, that Great Britain had over the colonies and stuff. You can think of it in the same way, really, as what we have over the corporation. You know, it's similar anyway. Something to think about, where we point out all the faults and we claim everything. So, mm-hmm. All right. So we did that. So if there's no discussion on that, I hope everybody got a copy of the calendar that I sent out to be looked at and approved. It's basically the same holidays that we have off we've had off for the past several years anyway. There's no real change in it, just the dates a little bit. It would be a good idea if we could get it passed and accepted just as a template so that we can have something in case we have a power outage, or, you know, if we had a major one, or if we had communications disruptions for a while, we'd know when back to meet again if we had already... you know, we've already left and everything. You don't want to do. You don't want to go sign die and not have a day to meet back in. So just wanted to say that. So as it stands, we're scheduled to meet every other week, and unless there's a holiday confliction on this calendar, for a total of 25 weeks for next year. But should we need to start a meeting more often, we can start using the No Tuesday meeting dates as needed, with the exception of the holiday weeks, which we shouldn't delve into unless we have to. It's good to have a schedule of tentative house meetings in case communications do fail or interrupted for a period of time, so that way we can meet back according to the calendar dates that were pre-approved by the house. But, of course, the reconvene date is when our target date should always be, unless a special session is called by the executive or the president. In other words, when we adjourn tonight and reconvene, we should stick to that date whenever possible. Otherwise, we have the calendar to fall back on. So the floor is open for any discussion on that. I can tell you that there's three columns, basically. In that calendar, the first one is, of course, the Tuesday meeting dates. The second one is the no meeting dates, and the third one is for the holidays. So we could take any of the no Tuesday meeting dates and use them if we needed to meet more often to do business and stuff. That's about all I got to say about that. So the floor is open for any discussion on the calendar.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir, Representative Schmidt, you have the floor.
Yeah, I support using this calendar for next year, and with that, I yield.
Thank you, sir, for that vote of confidence.
This is Rebecca Sowell, North Carolina Free State. May I have the floor?
Yes, Representative Sowell, you have the floor.
I'd like to second the motion to adopt that calendar for 2025.
All right. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the calendar whatsoever? Other than that? All right. Representative Schmidt, was that a motion that you made, or was that just...
Yep, that could be a motion, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Okay, so if there's no further discussion on the calendar, and if you haven't gotten one, just let me know at the end of the call. We have a motion and a second on the floor to approve the calendar for 2025. And I would add to that as a fallback in case we get out of communication for a while for reasons beyond our ability to take care of. Anyway, so there's a motion and second on the floor. Without any further discussion then, we'll do a voice vote. All those in favor of approving the 2025 meeting date calendar, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you. Anybody opposed? All right. Looks like the calendar is approved. Thank you so much for doing that. And I really appreciate that. Another thing crossed off the list to do. All right. Let me find my notes here. Here we go. All right. Okay. Is there any other business that needs to be brought up? Any questions or concerns or anything like that? The floor is open for anything you want to bring up that has to do with the Republic Congress. Any possible news you want to share? The floor is open. All right. Well, hearing no discussion, I would entertain a motion for us to adjourn and then reconvene on December 17th.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I make a motion that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on December 17th, 2024 at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time.
Central Time.
Thank you, Representative Cox.
This is Representative David Schmidt. We're seconding the motion to adjourn. With that, I yield.
All right. Very good. So we have a motion and a second to reconvene on Tuesday, December 17th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And let's take a voice vote on that, too. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay. All right. Before we adjourn, would someone like to close us in prayer, please?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd be happy to do that.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get together, Lord, and we just want you to be the center of our government. And, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we realize that we are unable to run this government without your help. We need your help with everything, Lord God. I ask that you would have mercy on our country, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us 4 more years of reprieve, Lord God, that you would, Lord, help us to make good with it, Lord. Help us to repent of our personal sins and our national sins as well, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, I ask that you would that you would keep us out of World War III, Lord God, and Lord that you would confound the evil intentions of the deep state to drag us into World War III, Lord, that you would confound their evil strategies, and we rebuke the the forces of violence and terrorism and civil war that would try to reign in our country. We rebuke those forces, and Lord, we ask that you would confound their evil plans to bring violence and chaos and civil war upon our nation. And Lord, we also ask that you would fight for Israel and protect Israel, Lord, and that you would protect, that you would satisfy the needs of the people in North Carolina and Florida who have lost loved ones, who have lost their homes, who have lost things, Lord, that you would provide them with food and clothing, shelter, medicine, and just take care of every need that they have. Make sure that they have every need taken care of, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. Bring us back safely to our next meeting on December 17th. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night,
and thank you.
Good night.